special message to them. Perhaps it was a shining example of the angel's message. The angel said, this is good news for all people, even shepherds, the lowliest in society. You know, a message is only good news if it's good news for you, if you're included in the benefits. Now, the good news is you are. But let's say that you invested, I don't know if any of you do invest your own money, but let's say you invested in a small penny stock, and that penny stock grew in value so much that you became a millionaire. Well, now that would be good news for you, not so good for me, unless you, you know, had made a pact with me that you were going to share it, which I'm agreeable to if you want to do that. The angel said the good news will cause great joy for all the people. What good news could affect all people equally, regardless of race, gender, income level, age, location, generation, or even the time in which we live? Like a cure for cancer would be good news if you have cancer. But if you're healthy, it wouldn't impact your life nearly as much. An end to war in 2019 would be fantastic. But what happens if there's another war next year? See, most good news offers that we see advertised during the Christmas season, they're limited offers. They have expiry dates. Were the words of the angel simply divine hyperbole? Or is there something in a message that was given to shepherds 2,000 years ago that still applies to us today? There is. What happened didn't just transform the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born. It has transformed millions and perhaps billions of people throughout history all around the world. And what's the message? What's the good news of the angel that day? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you or for you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. Jesus was born a Savior, not a destroyer. He was the promised deliverer of God. The Jewish nation into which Jesus was born had a slight misunderstanding of that. Right? They thought the Messiah was going to save the Jewish people from Roman domination, and that wasn't the case. Right? That's the bad news. If you think that Jesus has come to take away all your challenges and problems in your life, you will be disappointed. The good news is that Jesus came for something far greater and more enduring. Jesus came to save us from our sin and give us eternal, abundant life. The gospel is that God is with us and God is for us. If God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? God doesn't just want to be with you. He's on your side and he's cheering you on. You see, Bethlehem, the message is God is with us. And at Calvary, at the cross, the message is God is for us. And at Pentecost, the message is God is in us. And nobody wants what is best for you more than your Creator. Nobody else in the whole world knows what will truly make you happy. God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to run to him and have a relationship with him. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:17. You see, Jesus' birth has implications for every tribe and nation in history. His birth is a reason for joy for every person who's ever been born or ever will be born. Any sinner in any country, in any generation, can call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. And when you make a mistake, Jesus doesn't rub it in. Jesus rubs it out. He's good news for Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists and atheists. He's the only Savior of the world. In fact, the Bible says salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. Jesus offers salvation to everyone. Who is the most unhappy person in the Christmas story? Herod. His kingship was challenged. You see, the birth of a king is only good news if you're ready to submit to the lordship of the new king. And he wasn't. Herod was threatened. The kingship of Jesus still threatens many people today. It threatens your ability to be the king and the manager of your own life, right? And when we're threatened, we feel fear and we won't have joy. You can't have fear and joy at the same time. And we'll have conflict, tension, and doubt. And we don't want anyone messing with our lives. But Dan Schaefer writes, I think quite insightfully, although many people will never accept Jesus as their Savior, will never avail themselves of this good news, this in no way diminishes the character of the good news. An act of kindness, even when it's snubbed, remains an act of kindness. See, God's good to us. Even for those that reject him, it doesn't take away from God's goodness and his grace. For those that acknowledge they need a Savior, the birth of Christ is beyond good news. It's great news. There's joy in receiving the gospel. It's for all people. It was 2,000 years ago it was good, and it's still good today. The joy of Christmas doesn't fade over time. It's permanent. It's for all people, including you. And I like the way Frederick Buechner says it. He says, turn around and believe that the good news that we're loved is gooder than we ever dared hope. And that to believe that good news, to live out of it and toward it, to be in love with that good news is of all glad things in the world, the gladdest thing of all. There's good news for you today. There's joy in seeking and finding Jesus. You know, if we read, if we hear the angel's words again, the angel says, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. See, God gave the shepherds a sign. Divine guidance on how to find Jesus. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. They knew they didn't have to go to the nearest hospital or the temple or the government office. There'd be a baby in a manger. And mangers are found in barns. God gave them some information, but not everything. They had to go on a treasure hunt for Jesus. They had to choose, okay, is this real? Is this fake? Is this fake news? Right? Should we do this? Should we leave the sheep? Should we go? Is this? And they went. They went on a hunt. They had to choose to leave their sheep, risk losing their jobs to go on that treasure hunt. And they said, hey, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. They clearly understood the angel's message as revelation from God. You know, some weeks ago, our home group, we were sharing some lost and found stories in our discussion on the fifth and final purpose of our life. And it was amazing how many people in our home group had lost wedding rings. I was just like, it seemed like, you know, pretty much everyone had sort of gone through one of those experiences. Here's a picture of a carrot, or of a ring that was harvested 13 years later after a woman lost her wedding ring somewhere in the garden, right? She got an extra carrot out of the garden that day. You know, but there's all kinds of lost and found stories in the Bible. You know, I can't imagine how joyful the wise men were to finally find Jesus. You know, they had traveled a long way, probably weeks from a country we think probably in Persia. They were called Magi. They end up in Jerusalem, the capital city, because they think, well, that's where a king would be born, in Jerusalem. The king wasn't born in a palace. The king was born in a stable. His bed was an animal feeding trough. And so they got there, and then they say, oh, no, it's someplace else. It's in Bethlehem. They lost sight of a star for a while. Then they see the star that's leading them again, and so they're overjoyed, Scripture says. Eventually, they found Jesus, the child king. They were so filled with joy, they gave gifts of gold, frankincense, myrrh. I doubt they had any idea who Jesus really was. I think their joy would have been 100 times greater had they known he wasn't just a king. He was the King of Kings. He was the Son of God. And Christmas is the worship of Christ. He's the reason for the season. Friends, you were made by God for God. And until you understand that, life won't make any sense. But when you get that, you'll search for him. If you don't know Jesus today, are you at least searching? Are you reading the Bible? Are you looking at the stories? Are you inquiring? Are you engaging your brain? Are you saying, who is this Jesus? Because here's God's promise. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. There's joy in seeking and finding Jesus. And there's joy in talking about Jesus. It says when the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, when they finally found Jesus, the natural impulse of their soul was to tell others. It wasn't a little sort of a nod. You know, sometimes in church we, nice. I have joy. I'm smiling on the inside of my heart, right? I think it was more the joy of the Toronto Raptors winning the NBA championship, right? I think it was like, wow, this is awesome, right? There was this angel, and then he said, and then we went, and then that was exactly what happened, and like, you won't believe this, right? Like, it was way more like that. Jesus makes all the difference. You know, when God tells you something and it happens, doesn't it increase your faith? When a prophetic word comes true, it energizes our faith. And when you get some kind of insight or revelation, you're reading the Bible and you want to tell others about it. Absolutely. We all like to share good news. And we need more celebrations of what God is doing. Let's talk more about Jesus in this Christmas season. You know, the largest phone bill we ever got in our life was in 1995. We were living in Russia when long distance calls were not cheap like they are today. You know, like now we have Skype and you can call for free. Back then, I don't know, it was probably like $1 a minute or something like that. And our first child, Sarah, was born. It was so incredible. We just had to call. Like, you can't not call. You say, well, I don't know, it's $1 a minute, you know. Try and tell your wife that one, right? Like, that's not going to work. So you just phone, right? You just, you know, and hopefully you say, okay, we need to call somebody else too, right? You know, there's her side of the family, my side of the family. And it was well over $200 US that month. Somehow we didn't care because it was that good news. Friends, if you've met Jesus, if you know who Jesus is, it's that good news, right? Let's talk about the goodness of God with others this Christmas. Let's not keep it to ourselves. And there's joy in growing friendship with Jesus. You know, so far we've looked at joy through the lens of baby Jesus, right? And babies bring a lot of joy into the world. If you've never had a child of your own, it's really hard to describe the joy of having a baby. Babies are so cute, right? There's the awe factor. Oh, you know, and they're so cute. And, you know, stories have been documented about soldiers that destroy a village and adopt a baby. You say, well, that's crazy. Why would they do such a thing? Because babies bring out a different side of us, of compassion. And Christmas is a story of baby Jesus and kind of has that, you know, awe factor. And I loved my girls when they were newborns, right? Linda and I got a lot of joy in caring for them. But there's much greater potential for relationship now that they've grown up, right? They've emerged into young adults. And we can have a friendship that's simply not possible with a newborn. And friends, we need to move on from our Christmas and Sunday school understanding of baby Jesus if we want fullness of joy in our lives. We need to discover a friendship with the grown-up Jesus. John Eldridge writes, I began to see how the enemy was first trying to take away all joy from my life, wear me down. Then, weary and thirsty, I'd be quite vulnerable to some counterfeit joy. It would start with mild addictions and then build to something worse. And thus he would destroy all that God had done in and through me. Friends, for many, joy isn't even a consideration. We'd settle for relief. You know, we've talked a lot about joy, but I hope that you see how joy is different than happiness. Happiness depends on happening. It comes from the root word hap, which means luck or circumstance. Some people are happy because they got lucky in their circumstances. Joy is different. Joy is deeper. It's an inside job. Joy is an attitude. It's a choice. Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. It's a command form. How can somebody command me to rejoice? Joy isn't dependent on circumstances. That's how. It's a choice to rejoice. And Paul was in prison when he wrote those words. And how could he be happy? He probably wasn't happy to be in jail. But he chose to rejoice in something, in someone greater. You see, joy comes from knowing there's some things that can't be taken away from you. And one is our salvation. Jesus has accomplished that. We can rejoice that we're forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And he died on the cross to take away our sins. And he offers us the great exchange. We give him our sin and he gives us his righteousness. That's a great deal. And as Tim Keller says, the gospel is good news. It's not good advice. Advice is counsel about what you must do. News is a report about what's already been done. Advice urges you to make something happen. News urges you to recognize something that's already happened and to respond to it. Friends, the angels didn't give the shepherds good advice. They proclaimed good news. Don't try to save yourselves. God has come to save you. Just receive it. That's the joy of it. But Jesus also made it possible that we can be friends with God. And that's good news in 2019. Something Jesus did 2,000 years ago can impact my joy level today. And Jesus wanted his disciples to have the full measure of his joy within them. And Jesus said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete or full. Do you want a full measure of joy in you this Christmas? Then you need a full measure of Jesus. See, God's a God of joy, and he rejoices over you with singing. I love that song that we sang. God wants to give you irrepressible joy, joy that can't be taken away from you, joy that can't be beaten out of you, joy that can't be stolen from you. The psalmist says in Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. If you'll worship God for who he is and thank him for what he's done and spend time as a friend in God's presence, you will have joy. And there's joy in giving as well. Jesus said, Acts 20:35, there's more happiness in giving than in receiving. You know, perhaps the most famous Christmas story in English literature outside of the Bible is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It's played so many times on TV at the Theatre Calgary. It's a story of Ebenezer Scrooge, who doesn't like to celebrate Christmas because it's a statutory holiday and he has to pay workers for a day off, and that really gets him. Scrooge is the central character, and he goes through a radical change of heart because he has a visit from the ghost of Jacob Marley, a former business partner in eternal change. And three spirits visit Scrooge, and he becomes a changed man because he sees where his life is going and he doesn't want to go there. And then he awakes on Christmas morning and he realizes there's a chance to change his direction. And he's full of joy, and his joy only grows as he gives things away. You see, you can experience more joy giving something away than receiving. And Scrooge gives away a prized turkey to Bob Cratchit, and he gives him a raise and treats Tiny Tim as his own son. And Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, who we usually think can't smile, is actually the most joyful person in the whole book because somehow his life was changed. He learned to give. Who can you help this Christmas? Give to others and joy will be given to you. Friends, if we seek Christ with all our heart, we'll find him. That's the promise of the Bible. If we find Jesus and follow him, we'll have joy, not for one fleeting day, but as a companion for life. And finding Jesus can happen quite suddenly, like the shepherds, right? Or like Ebenezer Scrooge, it can happen in one night. Or it can be the culmination of a lifetime search, of like the more like the wise men. But I'll tell you this, wise people still seek Jesus. As Max Lucado says, the only reasonable response to God's lavish love and goodness is joy, pure joy. Jesus wants us to experience joy. He's our joy. You know, many years ago, I remember sitting around a campfire. It was a camp called Pinecrest Baptist Bible Camp. I was just a kid. I was not even quite 6 years old. But I knew enough at that age. I knew that I was a sinner. Oh man, me and my brother used to fight all the time. We drove our mom crazy. I knew that I was a sinner and needed God's grace. I also believed that Jesus had died for my sins, and I wanted so much to know Jesus in a personal way. And when that speaker around that campfire said, "Does anyone want to receive Jesus?" I put up my hand. And I had a lot of tears. And that's okay, because I was a sinner and I was grateful for God's forgiveness. Here's what I remember most about when I came to faith in Jesus Christ as a kid. I remember running to tell my mom what had happened. She was working in that camp. She was at the hot chocolate station. I went running and I told her what had happened. There was joy, friends. There was joy to receive Jesus as my Savior. That happened more than 50 years ago, and I can still remember it like yesterday. Some of us, why aren't we experiencing more joy in our life? Maybe some of us feel like we've disappointed God. If you've fallen or failed or stumbled, that doesn't mean that God has stopped singing over you. If you're harboring unconfessed sin, it might block the joy of your relationship with God. Then you just need to get things right. You need to confess it, repent, change your life, and get back to a joyful place with God. Maybe you've lost some joy because God's disappointed you. Some of us have expectations of what God should do in our life. And if he hasn't kind of come through, that can really affect our joy. Maybe you need to ask Jesus to identify any lies about false expectations that you have of God. Or maybe you've got a focus problem. I'd like you to do something for me. Would you put your hand in front of your face? And would you look at your hand? And let's just imagine that this hand represents your problems. These are problems that you can't solve. These are people that you can't control. These are expectations that you can't meet. If you focus on your hand, it's all you can see. But now I want you to do something else. I want you to look through your hand, through those fingers. I want you to look at the cross. And suddenly, your focus has changed. Your problems are still there. Your hand is still there. Those same people that you can't control, they're still there. And, you know, the expectations you can't meet, they're still there. But somehow, when you see beyond, you can focus on something. You can have, you can see the reason for your joy. Focus on Christ and what he's done for you in the manger and on the cross, and you'll get a different perspective. If you don't have joy, maybe you've got your eyes focused on your problems, on what's happening all around you, instead of on Jesus and what's already happened. Friends, he came into the world to be with you and save you, and he's for you, and he's the source of all joy. And the secret of joy is to focus on what's already happened for you instead of what's happening all around you. And if you've never opened up your life to Jesus, if why don't you do that today? If, you know what? If Jesus was just another baby and he lived 2,000 years ago, his birth is pretty irrelevant. But if you believe that Jesus was God's son and he was born for you. His life will give you hope, and his death will give you life. And more than 2,000 years later, coming to know Jesus still makes all the difference. And Christmas, the birth of the King, can happen again in your heart. Jesus wants to be the center of your life, just like he was the central figure 2,000 years ago. And we've got a prayer team that would love to pray for you. I'm going to ask if they just move to the doors. They're wearing some red lanyards. And if you need to pray to receive Jesus as your Savior today, why don't you have the greatest joy that you can ever imagine and start it today? Maybe you've just got some other things that you need to pray about. Maybe you've got a focus problem, and maybe you need some prayer about these things. They would love to pray for you. Go to the source of all joy today. Celebrate the coming of God into our world. I'm going to close our service with, it's kind of like Christmas karaoke.